Our opening hymn is Ride On, Ride On in Majesty, the words which were written by Henry Hart Milman, who was a quite brilliant scholar and who wrote these words in the early 1800s. The German melody is one we know as Winchester New. Ride on, ride on in majesty. Let us pray together, please. We bow before you with thankfulness, dear God, as we remember the time Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We cannot begin to imagine what your feelings must have been, knowing what was going to happen to your beloved Son. We wonder why people who so readily acclaimed Jesus on that day were so obviously absent with their support when Jesus was arrested and condemned to be crucified. We like to think we would be more faithful to Jesus than the ecstatic crowd who welcomed him. Yet we must confess just how fickle in our following our Saviour can be. So we ask for forgiveness for those times and plead for grace and strength to be consistent in our discipleship. So many look to us for encouragement and counsel, knowing we claim to be Christians. Let them see Jesus in us, we pray. The world continues to be in the grip of the coronavirus pandemic, and emotions are being stretched in an unprecedented way. People are dying from the virus when they would normally have been expected to live much longer. Grant, we pray, extra physical and mental strength to the doctors, nurses, and all who are caring for those suffering from the virus. And we also ask for all Christians who have not been able to meet together in worship because of the lockdown. Your presence will enable them, even in the physical solitude, to know the wonder of being dependent upon you. As we read again the account of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, remind us, we pray, of all you were prepared to give to the world, so it might know just how deep is your love for us all. And these things we ask in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Amen. Now that well-known hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. The words are by William Keith, who was born in the late 1500s. And Keith is thought to be one of the scholars who translated and published the English-language Geneva Bible. His versification of Psalm 100 is the only one which has found its way into our hymnary. The tune Old Hundredth is usually attributed to the French composer Louis Bourgeois, who was born in 1510 or thereabouts. All people that on earth do dwell. The reason. What is the reason that you welcome him today? What are you hoping as you cheer him on his way? Will your allegiance be as should befit a king? Do you seek answers you are hoping he'll bring? Riding on an ass, so it shows he comes in peace, love conquering hatred, all of which he says must cease. King of a kingdom that replicates heaven on earth, what is eternal we can see in him its worth. The crowd cheered him on as they waved their palm leaves high, but will they be loyal when they see him led to die? Some will desert him and leave him suffering alone, caring not for him who dies their sins to atone. This is the moment when our witness is required. Are we disciples with our hearts aflame, inspired? Or will we deny that we have ever known him, and lacking courage, leave with unforgiven sin? The hymn, All Glory, Lord and Honour. This is an English translation by the Anglican clergyman John Mason Neale of the Latin hymn Gloria, Laus et Honor, which was written by Theodulf of Orleans in 1820, and it's based on Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. All glory, Lord and honor. God's tithes and our offerings. All over the world, finances are being strained because of the pandemic, which has caused the close down of so much commerce. Churches and ministries are not immune to these financial challenges. Yet never was it more important that the gospel should be shared when people need hope and reassurance of God's love. Can we encourage the continuing of financial support to where the work of building God's kingdom is being maintained? And may God bless you and guide you in your giving. Our next hymn is by Charles Wesley, Rejoice the Lord is King, and to that wonderful tune, Gopsel, which was written by George Frederick Handel. Rejoice the Lord is King. Our Bible reading is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 47. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Amen. Two songs now in completely different styles. First, a cathedral choir singing "My Song is Love Unknown," and then a modern worship group singing "Hosanna."
My song is love. righteousness, O ruler of the world, ruler of our hearts, now ascend your throne.
You are the King of Kings, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sons of men, riding on in gentle strength. Oh, come to save your own, come to give your life. The kingdom is at hand.
You are the King of Kings, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes.
Palm Sunday. I want to wave a palm leaf to welcome Jesus here. I want to shout Hosanna and raise the loudest cheer. But there are those who hate him. They love their evil ways. Would I his life endanger by showering him with praise? Would it incite reaction from those who fear his claim? Would those who crucified him just do the same again? To welcome him in secret might seem the prudent choice, protecting him from anger and silently rejoice. But Jesus came to offer forgiveness for mankind. How would the world receive it, the pardon he has signed? But must I stand by helpless and watch while love is spurned? Could I be all that certain the lessons have been learned? I'll join the crowd in welcome, but not just for today. I'll be there when the cross looms and others drift away. If Jesus has to suffer, he will not be alone. The path he chose to follow is mine, as well to own.
Here we have a meditation for brass bands entitled The Light of the World. It's by Dean Goffin, and he attempts to create in music Holman Hunt's famous picture of Christ standing outside the heart's door. Written around the tune Aurelia, so long associated with the words, O Jesus, thou art standing outside the fast closed door. And then asking in the words of Fanny Crosby, behold me standing at the door. May I come in? May I come in? The brass meditation, The Light of the World.
Thank you.
You will forgive me, please, if I start this sermon in a rather unusual way. As I was preparing this Palm Sunday service, I found myself needing urgent treatment for acute dental pain. Being a typical man, I confess to unbearable pain. On reflection, such an ailment is minor in comparison to the obvious deadly and serious diseases. Problems with teeth are hardly worth mentioning, but that's not to say it wasn't painful. Yet an unusual thought occurred to me. We don't ever read that Jesus suffered any childhood illnesses, nor indeed that while he was in his father's carpenter's workshop, is there any mention of a workshop injury. We might think he was very cautious or extremely fortunate, and not even in those intervening years from being lost and then found in the temple talking with the leaders, and we recall him being scolded by his distraught parents who had discovered he was missing as they were making their way home, having been to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to the time of his public ministry. Is there any record that Jesus was ever poorly? But we have to remember that although all of us are born with what is called original sin, which Adam must bear the blame, Jesus was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit and was therefore born without original sin. This had to be, for if he had born as we are, with the result of Adam's sin in us, his sacrifice on the cross could only have been for his own sin. But he was sinless and was therefore able to take our sin on himself. In the words of the well-known hymn, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. All our illnesses result from Adam spoiling the perfect world God had given to him. Adam set in motion the imperfections we see in the world, from man's disobedience, resulting in the world's selfishness, causing the lack of care we see, and the illnesses resulting from the imperfections that Adam's actions triggered. So it's not surprising that Jesus is not recorded as being prone to the pain of ailments, having been born sinless. Jesus came to live a sinless life in order to redeem a world affected by sin. And in the dentist chair, I wondered why such thoughts were coming to me. Then my mind went to the reading in St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus, with his disciples and the pilgrims, had walked up the Jericho Road on Friday, and possibly resting at Bethpage, or as it's properly pronounced, Bethphage, which is only ever mentioned in the Bible at the recording of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. They climbed the 15 steep miles to Bethany, and from the Mount of Olives could see the magnificent temple, the palaces, the gardens of the wealthy Jews, and the great wall encircling the city in a sight of heavenly splendour. Add to that memories of more than 1,000 years of sacred history, which would overwhelm any pious Jew, and this, we are told, moved Jesus to tears, because he saw the coming destruction of the city. If they only knew, Jesus said, the things which belong to their peace. But that would involve their need for repentance and acceptance of him as Lord and Saviour. In the coming few days, they would have to choose to accept or reject God's offer to acknowledge Jesus and face their sin, their prejudice, their self-will and their self-righteousness. Jesus may not have suffered physically with the ailments we have, but oh, the burden of carrying our sin because of his love for the people, when the thought of their rejecting his offer of God's ways, so great was that burden that it caused him to weep. He had at this point just 7 days before he was crucified. On Sunday he entered Jerusalem. On Monday he cleansed the temple. Tuesday we hear him teaching in parables. On Wednesday there is the treachery of Judas. Thursday was the day of the Last Supper and the arrest in Gethsemane and the ecclesiastical trial. Friday was the trial of Jesus before Pilate, the crucifixion and his burial. Saturday we remember he was in the tomb, and then of course would come the glorious resurrection on Sunday. But at the start of the week, Jesus wept over the state of the city. There could be nothing to compare with the agony of mind that Jesus must have felt during those few days. He must have suffered mental torment, the like of which we could not possibly comprehend. Through all the demands on him, Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem to pay for the sin of the world. In that week, he faced people making his father's house into what he called a den of robbers. That took so much courage. Yet he also had to deal with one of his disciples, Judas, betraying him. There was a moment of arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter resorted to violence against a soldier. And what a religious disgrace to have to face a trial by religious leaders. What torment Jesus must have faced to be held to account by those purporting to represent his Father. And as we shall soon see, Jesus will undergo unimaginable physical pain. No wonder when the Pharisees asked Jesus to stop his disciples praising him in words which clearly reflected his Messiah status, that if he were to stop their proclamations, the very stones would cry out. How utterly sad that God would have need to consider causing stones to do that, to give testimony to Jesus, if man would not. No wonder Jesus wept at his isolation and being rejected, which he could see coming as the praising crowd deserted him one by one. As he enters Jerusalem, we must decide whether to stay with him. May I ask, if you know of someone who is ignoring the appeal of the Saviour, let us, with Jesus, weep for the lost and direct them to the Calvary cross.
Save my life. All he did was be my friend and then mend my broken heart so that I could smile again. Now they've taken him away and I just can't understand why they've treated him this way. Oh, they must not know this man. No, they must not know this man called Jesus. He's so gentle, he's so kind. What could he be guilty of? Oh, how could it be a crime that he gave all his love? Now the man who saved my life has been nailed upon a cross, and the joy that he made mine, without him we'd all be lost. Oh, they must not know this man called Jesus. If they'd known him like I do, if they'd felt his gentle touch, if they'd only seen the love in his eyes. Well, I hope someday they will, then like me they'll understand what it is to know this man called Jesus. Will the morning ever come and the night be left behind? Jesus is the only one who can bring the sun to shine. Now I feel just like the sky when the rain begins to start. I can't stop these tears I cry from the pain that's in my heart. Oh, they must not know this man called Jesus. If they'd known him like I do, if they'd felt his gentle touch, if they'd only seen the love in his eyes. Well, I hope someday they will, then like me they'll understand what it is to know this man called Jesus. If they'd known him like I do, if they'd felt his gentle touch, if they'd only seen the love in his eyes. Well, I hope someday they will, then like me they'll understand what it is to know this man called Jesus. What it is to know this man called Jesus. What it is to know this man called Jesus.
Our benediction. May the sacrifice of Jesus for the world be your motivation to share the gospel and to live daily following in the footsteps of the Saviour. Amen.